I don't normally do, you know, sermons that are based on events in the year, but this year I want to definitely talk about moms from the scriptures. If you read the email Wednesday, I sent out a scripture or a scripture at the top of the email, and it was taken from this very passage, 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. So I'd like to read that for you. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for giving us life through our moms, for moms who raised us and nurtured us, brought us into this world and provided the, at least the basics of life so that we could grow up. And Lord, there are some mothers who made it a point that we would find you and taught us about you. And for them, we praise you, Lord. But we praise you, Father God, that we are created in your image, and mothers are created in your image. There is a mother side of you, even though we call you Father, that reflects compassion and nurturing and unconditional love. I want to celebrate that today, Father God, that you created moms. There's no way to come into this world except through a mother. And so we just stop and give you praise, because you are the great designer who designed that. That we would lay on our mother's bosom and feed at her breast, and that everything to give glory to you, Lord, to point to you, that you want us to be nurtured by you the way we are nurtured by our mothers. And so, Lord, I pray that this word would encourage us, challenge us, convict us to go deeper into you and discover this amazing God who has given us everything to point to him, to reveal his character. Open our eyes, Lord, through this passage and this word to show us who you really are and what you require of us. We ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. New American Standard, 2 Timothy 1:5. I am mindful, or I remember, I'm reminded of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you as well. Paul is locked up in a jail, really nasty situation. It's a big hole in the ground with a small opening at the top, and he is put in there because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nero, who was a madman, decided to set Rome on fire and blame it on the Christians. And so in that persecution that happened as they rounded up all the Christians, blaming them for the great fire of Rome in the mid-60s, decided he was going to start with the leaders and rounded up Paul and threw him in a pit in the floor, probably held about 30 people, and just rounded them up and threw them in there and forgot about them. And Paul writes, as he's pondering, he's got nothing to do, and you can imagine some of the people he was with and frightened in that whole scene of being afraid, and if Paul ever was afraid. But when you're alone like that and you're in a darkness, there's only one place to go, and that's to God. And he's also remembering the gospel that he preached faithlessly, fearlessly, and some of the men that he trained up, and some of the people, and some of the churches he planted. And he's reminded in that time of Timothy, and how much he loves him, and how much he wishes he was with him right now. And he writes this thing, this passage here, and he says, I'm remembering your sincere faith. Timothy, I'm thinking about you. I'm writing you a letter. Maybe he's dictating it to Luke somehow, and Luke is recording it. But ultimately, in the moment of this darkness, he's remembering some of his main disciples, some of those who did not leave him. And he's thinking of Timothy's faith, and he calls it a sincere faith. Genuine. The real deal. It's real faith. Now, this is very interesting because as I read this verse, it just jumped off. What is sincere faith? What does it mean? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Because what he says is, That sincere faith didn't start with you, it started with your mother and your grandmother. And that's pretty powerful. And he likens his faith, which is pretty remarkable, to the faith of his maternal influences. The word for sincere is a word from the Greek that means not hypocritical. It's genuine. It's not disguised. It's not pretending. Like an actor in a play who's pretending to be someone they're not. Now think about this. Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites. It literally means hypocritical faith. You're a hypocrite. You're just putting on an air for the religious people that are around you. And then Jesus accused the Pharisees, the most religious people of the time, of being hypocrites. A hypocrite is someone who wears a mask when there's people around. They're living their faith just to please people. They're to look good for someone else. Someone who expects them to look or perform a part. That's how they're living their faith. And he says, this is not true of you, Timothy. You're not a pretender. You're the real deal. Your faith is genuine. And you got it from your mom and your grandma. Go to Acts 16, please. Verse 1. Acts 16, verse 1. Paul is on a mission trip to Philippi. He stops in Derbe and Lystra, probably where Timothy was from. And behold, verse 1, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. I want you to picture this. It's a mixed marriage where the mother, we are told, Eunice, is married to a Greek. Literally, the word used there means he's not even Jewish. He's someone who is totally different faith. They're unequally yoked. Timothy's mother is a Jew. His father is a Greek. I can imagine the tension in that house. I read this and I'm reminded of the many homes, even in our congregation, where the father is not following God. In some cases where the father is not even interested in God. He's doing his own thing. And this is so common in churches. I've mentioned it before. It is probably the number one thing that pastors struggle with is how do you get men in the church? There are books written about it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a mother issue. Think about it. Timothy had an influence from two very important females in his life who happened to be Jewish, who happened to convert to Christianity when the gospel came to Lystra. He was converted by the faith of Paul and the preaching of the gospel, and he had that faith demonstrated by the two most important women in his life. Moms, I want to thank you for being faithful to Christ and faithful to the point of proclaiming Christ and faithful to the point of even enduring the persecution of your husband or spouse or significant other. Okay? I have seen that over and over again. And many, many households in churches, the woman, the mother comes with her kids and the father is absent. And yet she continues to pray, she continues to teach the word of God to the children. And I just want to applaud you for your faithfulness because I know, counsel lots of unequally yoked couples over the years. That is very difficult. And the number one concern of a mother is, what about the faith of my kids? Because the statistics show that if the husband is not walking with God, the children probably will not either. But here we have a situation that these women, their faith was so sincere. They were so in love with Jesus. They were so in love with God and followed him that even the kids, Timothy in this case, noticed the faith of his mom and said, I want that faith. Keep going, mothers. Keep going. Keep demonstrating a hunger and a thirst for God. Because you are testifying to your children, and we just declare by faith and prophesy in Jesus' name that they will become Timothys because of the example that you are giving them. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. What is sincere faith? Well, this is the sermon. What is sincere faith? Genuine faith. I went through 1 and 2 Timothy and all the passages that mention Timothy, And I pulled out a few things to talk about sincere faith. I'm not going to be long. I'm just going to list them off. I've actually decided for the first time ever that I'm going to make this my blog, so all the scriptures will be up on the blog. If you're interested, I will send it out tomorrow. But when you look at these two books, 1 and 2 Timothy, you realize there are some real clear trademarks to identifying a true faith as opposed to a hypocritical faith. Are you with me? Now, I want us to ask, and then, you know, this is very convicting. Is my faith real? Is it the real deal? Okay. Is my faith genuine? Or am I a hypocrite sometimes? Am I a people pleaser? Or am I just seeking, you know, the approval of people? So I'm one way during the week, but when I come to church, I put on the mask, which literally is what hypocrite means. I put on a mask and I pretend to be somebody else. That's not sincere faith, genuine faith. When I go through these two books, 1 and 2 Timothy, here's the first thing that pops out. True faith begins with a true saving faith in Jesus Christ and a real love for Him. An appreciation of what He did at Calvary. True faith is always rooted in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And let's go back to 2 Timothy. I'm going to try to stay in that book just to show you. Second Timothy 1, verse 8 to 10. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. Okay, there it is. Paul, the opening paragraphs, just go take your Bible and underline Jesus Christ, promised life of Jesus Christ, verse 1. Sending my beloved Son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus and what He did. True faith is in a person and receiving and believing what Christ has done at the cross and living in that reality of a new creation in Christ. And He has commanded to embrace Christ as Lord, as Savior, as King and Master. Okay, that is the only true genuine faith is when you say, Jesus, You are my Lord, my Master, my King. I live for You to serve You. Okay, that is genuine faith. No longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. Number two, it's a strong faith rooted in the Word of God. Okay, go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 to 17. This is quite something. He says, continue in the things you have learned, verse 14, 2 Timothy 3, and been convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, and everything else, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Where did that hunger and desire to read the Word come from? His mom. In his childhood, you have known the sacred writings. His dad was not a believer. His dad was a Hellenist, a Greek. He worshipped a different God. His mom was the only one who was Jewish and following the true God. And then she got saved, and she's passing on the faith. She taught him the Scriptures. And in that, there was a hunger created for the Word of God, to know God. That's a sign of a true faith. There's a hunger for the Word of God. And if you read these two letters, you will see that the overarching theme of these two letters is to defend the faith with the Word of God, because there are many heretics and false teachers and false prophets preaching a different gospel. And Paul's charge to Timothy is stand firm, preach the Word in season, out of season, know it, preach it, declare it. You have to know it. You have to remember what your mother taught you so that you can dispense it to others and believe it. You know, he uses the word convinced. convinced? Are you convinced that the Word of God is the Word of God? It's His letter to you.
Yes.
Okay, that's true faith. It's not some, you know, well, just another book. You know, I can read any other book I want. I'll just pick this up once in a while. No, it has to be bread. It's daily bread for your soul. It builds you up and equips you and gives you life. That's how you have to view the Word of God. Person who has that has strong, sincere, genuine faith. Number three, it's a faith imparted by a real experience with Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy verse 1, or chapter 1, 6 and 7. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit, the Spirit of God, who gives us power, love, and discipline. Okay? Genuine faith comes from a true, tangible, experiential relationship with Holy Spirit. You've encountered God through Holy Spirit. There's some supernatural events in your life, like the baptism of the Spirit, whatever it is. Okay? Your faith has to be real. It can't be your parents' faith. It can't be, you know, even your mother's faith. It's got to become at some point your faith. That's genuine faith. Are you with me? And nothing will launch you on your way to genuine faith like an experience with Holy Spirit. Just saying, from experience. Anybody want to testify? Lots of people do, right? Number four, it's a faith that reflects holiness, consecration, obedience to God, self-discipline, purity, godliness. It obeys the teachings of Jesus. A true faith, and I can take you to many passages, but here's, it's all through these two letters. Are you walking in holiness, trying to please your God based on the Word of God, because Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you how to walk to please your Father? Okay? True, genuine, saving faith is one that obeys and walks in holiness. Number five. I kind of listed them in some sequential order, not as they appear, but as importance. It's a faith that perseveres through trials, persecutions, ready to contend for and fight for the faith. This is in both 1 and 2 Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand firm. Defend the truth against those who are preaching error. Does not abort the plan. It never gives up and says, that's it. As many, many times in these two books, people wander away from the faith. They leave Paul, they leave Jesus, they leave Christianity, they just wander away. A true saving faith perseveres even in the midst of persecution. When Paul wrote these letters, there was persecution, severe persecution. Actually, if you read the story of how Timothy comes to faith and follows Paul on his missionary journeys, he's facing persecution himself. It says twice in these letters that these two guys left me. And then in 2 Timothy it says, another two guys left me. You're one of the only ones who stands with me. That's why I love you, because you're the real deal. I can trust you. I can depend on you. Don't wander. A true faith does not wander away. It perseveres through the toughest times. Number six is a faith we continue to pursue and grow. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. True faith is one we continue to pursue and grow in and impart to others. He says, you therefore, for 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You really got to know your faith and what you believe if you're going to impart it to other people. And if you go to chapter 2, verse 22, he says, flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. That's a verse I could preach on, but he wants us, a true faith pursues more faith. It pursues to know the truth. It pursues to know Christ. And it is pursuit of developing a pure heart that is sold out for Jesus. Okay, you with me? Any questions? We good? You can get all this online. You can hear the message. But the reason I say this is because I'm always asking God, what is it we need to hear? What is it? Yeah, it's Mother's Day, and all right, I'll do a Mother's Day sermon, but I want to impart truth. I want to encourage you to keep going and go deeper because, friends, persecution is coming. I say that, I think I say it every Sunday we gather, but persecution is coming. If you're going to live loud, really, if you're going to live your genuine faith out loud, you're going to experience persecution. Test it out. Go and preach the gospel in public. Go into a synagogue and preach Jesus. It's a faith we continue to pursue and grow in and impart to others. Number 7, it's a faith we are not ashamed of. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul says. Many times, I've underlined how many times it says we're not ashamed. So if you go to 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. 2 Timothy 1, 8. Then he says it again in verse 12. For this reason I suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. That's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. I say it all the time. I'm convinced. See, a true faith is convinced of what one believes. True faith possesses discernment. True faith possesses discernment. And I need to know, especially in this day and age, with all the heresies and all the defections and all the wanderings away from the faith, we need to know what we believe, and we need to be able to discern when we hear error. Okay? And I've said this many times, we need to be careful what we're listening to, because a lot of times there's something out of whack. And unless we ask Holy Spirit for discernment before we listen to it, there might be a seed planted in us, a seed of deception. True faith discerns when truth is not being spoken and rebukes and reproves and corrects lies and deception. Number 9, true faith submits to godly teachers with a desire to learn more. The whole thing, both letters, is Paul telling Timothy to persevere, to keep going, to go deeper, right? And Timothy was sitting at the feet of Paul. A true person of faith is always surrounded with others because they want to know more. They want to grow in their faith. Okay? Almost done. I'm not going to preach long. I just want to get this into you, into me. I say it again. I say this because, people, there's a lot of deception out there. Number 10, true faith is an example to others. Paul says that in 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example. Let no one look down on you, on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Is your life modeling to others, especially younger believers, a consistency, a conviction, a pursuit of Christ and nothing else, and a steadfastness to keep going no matter how difficult? Is your life an example? Moms, especially to your children. True faith presses on to the prize. I love 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. This letter in 2 Timothy is written just before Paul is killed for the gospel. And he says, I'm ready. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. See, he knows he's almost dead. Chapter 4, verse 6. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. All those who are hungering to see Jesus, who are waiting for him to come back, are persevering and pressing on and pressing through. All those demonstrating true, genuine faith will receive a reward. That's how we know. Just saying. How do I know someone is genuinely in love with Jesus? Because they can't wait to see him. Right? They love him so much, They're pressing on, and they know that at the end, the prize they're going to receive is, I will see him face to face. Friends, I don't know about you, but I get excited. I get really excited. Because I know he's coming. He could show up right now. Woohoo. Wouldn't that be awesome? Right now. And I know there might be people, oh, my friends, my kid's not saved, my husband's not saved. Well, they've all had lots of opportunity. There's a day coming when it's over. Judgment day has come. Actually, it's always been here. Finally, I just want to encourage you with this. If you read these two letters, 1 and 2 Timothy, you will discover that the faith that Timothy had not only came from his mom and his grandma, was not only instilled in him by the teaching of the Word, but it also came as a gift of the Holy Spirit. It was imparted to them. Paul laid his hands on Timothy. The elders laid hands on Timothy and anointed him for the ministry. There was a confirmation. There was a pouring out of the Holy Spirit on Timothy. Okay? There was a hunger in Timothy to grow and to learn and to follow Jesus because Holy Spirit had been imparted to him as a gift. Faith is a gift, Ephesians 2:10 or 2:8. Okay? Faith is a gift. And what does James say? You just have to ask. If you want more faith, you just have to ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. If you want more faith, just ask. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, faith is a gift. And then he says, eagerly desire gifts, the greater gifts. Eagerly desire. Are you eagerly desiring the faith that presses on? Okay. And I want to encourage you. A lot of you are there. So many of you are there. I don't want to think about who's not there because there's so many godly women in this church. Praise God. There's so many godly mothers in this church. It's incredible.
We have faith to believe God for the impossible.
Yes. Faith to believe God for the impossible. Even the salvation of your children and your husband. Even faith as you're praying Monday nights, you know, for people in your life to go deeper into Christ. Friends, it's achievable. Everyone can have it. Everyone, it's available for everyone. Deeper faith, real genuine faith is available. God satisfies the hungry heart. He answers prayer. Right? And so moms, keep going. We're going to believe for your children. We're believing with you. We've already declared out this year, at the beginning of the year, about the prodigals. There was, you know, many of you moms, you led your children to the Lord once, but they're not following the Lord. We're believing. Faith in Jesus' name is going to rise back up in them. And they're going to decide to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, not the world. And we break off the world. And I just encourage you, one of the things I could have mentioned is Paul exhorts Timothy to pray. True faith, genuine faith, prays, like really prays. Okay? Not mumbo-jumbo repetitive prayers, but really groans in the Spirit. That's what real faith does. Friends, we have it. We have real faith. This is a real faith church, genuine faith. I want to encourage you. When I think of you, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. Especially moms, on this day, I'm reminded and praise God for you of the genuine faith I see in you. How much you love God, how much you love the Word of God, how much you just pursue Christ and want to do His will and live out His plan for you and your family. And I just bless that in Jesus' name. I bless all the moms here today in Jesus' name. Keep going. God hears your cries. You know, I could go through the Old Testament and I think of Hannah and so many people crying out to God. When am I going to have a kid? And it's one moment. After years and years, suddenly it happens. God answers their prayer. Okay? It's just like that. And I can't even imagine how much Lois and Eunice prayed for Timothy. Especially with a father who's not a believer. Can you imagine the tension in that house? And women were actually submissive back then. Okay? They just had to put up with an abusive and you know, what's language abusive, speaking abusive language to their
emotional.
You just go down the list. I mean, it wasn't a pretty home, I'm sure. But there they were. I'm sure Eunice called her mom. Mom, we got to get together. We got to pray. My husband went off again, and he's cursing us, and he's mad, and little Timothy's here, and he's listening to it, and we got to get together and pray. We're going to believe, right? I can see it. And in a world, and that tension is so incredible. You know, they're persecuting Christians, and there's Timothy. All that his mom and his grandma taught him, coming back to him. Stand firm, Timothy. Hang on to the word of God. Follow the leading of God. And he's going, I can do this. And he's remembering all the words that Paul taught him and all the words his mom and his grandma spoke into his life. And he's just going to keep going. And so I encourage all of us, let's keep going. Let's keep believing for kids. You know, I see Aaron. Yeah, we pray a lot for your kids. All four of them, we're believing. I know lots of you out there, you have unsaved children. We're just going to believe. What God is able to do with Timothy, he's able to do with all your children. Right? I don't think there's any prayer that touches the heart more of God than a mother crying on behalf of her kids. Anyway, Father, in your name, in the name of Jesus, we come before you and we cry out for the children represented in this congregation, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the example of godly mothers and fathers. But Lord, we know that these moms, full of compassion, eagerly desiring their children to come to know Jesus, cry out. And I pray, God, that you would bend your ear and you would hear and you would answer. For your word says that if you hear, then you answer. We have asked what we have received what we ask for. We ask in your name. And how many prayers for the salvation of these kids have been offered up? Father, even grandchildren, in Jesus' name, have mercy, O God. Bend your ear and choose to answer. Thank you, Lord, for the moms in this congregation. Thank you for their example, even to us, Lord, of persevering faith, of trusting and believing and hanging on to your word and your promises. O God, we bless each mom here today in Jesus' mighty name. Even the dads, Lord, it takes two. We thank you, Lord, just for household units, so many households breaking up. But Lord, we know that the godly parent is a great influence and a great example to their children. And so we're believing, Lord, this year for a mighty move of your spirit in these children. We just break off the spirit of the world on them, and we just declare salvation over them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Do a mighty work in our families. We ask it for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.